Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining the show right now, he covers the Yankees for NJ Advanced Media, is Max Goodman. Max, Al Cintron, how are you?
I'm good, Al. How are you?
I'm good. Now, before I had you on, I was asking a question. Do you prefer Max Goodman or Max T. Goodman?
Well, T is just my middle name.
I know. I just a respect thing. I just want to make sure, you know.
No, just Max. But if you're reading out the Twitter handle, you gotta snag the T in there, too.
Okay, so there you go. Max T. Goodman for those on Twitter. Let me ask, if we're going to get into it right now, how concerned are the Yankees with Carlos Rodon right now?
Well, it doesn't seem like they're very concerned at all, based on what, you know, manager Aaron Boone has been telling us, and quite frankly, based on what Rodon has been saying after his last couple of outings. He gave up the 4 home runs in the live session and then didn't have it in his last time out either. But I think it's a positive, optimistic type of view of what's going on, finding the good takeaways in what may on the surface look like bad outings. But Rodon is healthy. His velocity is back up a little bit after a concerning decrease at the end of last season. And, you know, as much as fans out there see some poor results and start to freak out, it is still early in spring training. This is not a guy that's competing for a spot. So he's getting his work in, and the vibes are high right now. But of course, if that carries into deeper into March and then into the regular season, then the red flags will start to fly.
Now, Peraza being out for 6 to 8 weeks, who do you see getting that roster spot?
I think it's a competition between, I'll give you 3 guys, and then I think 2 will probably get the bench spot. That's
right.
Oswaldo Cabrera, who has the most experience with the Yankees of the bunch. Jamai Jones, who is already on the 40-man roster, a guy that the Yankees claimed off waivers not too long ago. He was with the Brewers recently. And then Kevin Smith, who's from upstate New York, right outside of Albany, experienced infielder, has the ability to play shortstop, better defender than hitter, and he's a non-roster invitee, so they'd have to get him on the roster in some way. Of course, Peraza going on the injured list eventually could be one way to do that if that's who the Yankees end up choosing. But it's really Cabrera's job to lose in terms of being the backup shortstop, because that's the job that Peraza would have held if he was going to be on the big league roster. And Cabrera just hasn't been performing so far this spring. And if he continues to struggle offensively after he took such a glaring step back in his sophomore season, you remember in 2022, he was a lightning bolt at the end of the year, playing all those different positions, hitting well. He just hasn't had it against big league pitching since then. So if he's going to continue to struggle this spring, I could totally see the Yankees sending him back down to AAA and giving him an extended runway to work on that consistency and get better from both sides of the plate, or just focus on hitting left-handed. So at that point, it would be Jones and Smith, in my opinion, but there are plenty of options to choose from.
Now, I was checking out guys that are available. Are Nick Ahmed still available? J.D. Davis got cut. Do you think the Yankees have any interest in one of those guys?
You can't rule it out, but I'm not sure how much money they would want to spend. And at a certain point, if you're really being financially conscious there, are those options that are out there that fit the budget going to be better than the ones that are internal? That's something that they would need to decide. What I could see is the Yankees doing something similar to what they did at the very end of spring training last year when they picked up off waivers Franchy Cordero. That's a throwback name for fans out there.
Oh,
he ended up
name.
Playing quite a bit early on during the regular season, right? And that was part of the issue with just the amount of injuries the Yankees had in the outfield, and that, you know, some of it was desperation trying to fill the void when they were missing some key guys. Aaron Boone was in Fort Myers. I stayed at the complex in Tampa, and my coworker Randy Miller was in Fort Myers. And Boone said that, you know, you can't rule out some external addition, but also kind of alluded to the fact that they're going to be conscientious of who's on the waiver wire as rosters start to get trimmed in other camps. And maybe that's an opportunity for them to pounce and grab someone that they think could be a good fit.
Am I wrong in thinking that this Yankee bullpen is a huge question mark?
I don't know. I don't view it that way. I mean, they had the best in the league last year, and as much as Wandy Peralta and Michael King are, it's going to be different not having them in the back of the pen. The Yankees have, in the last couple of years, really established this innate ability to find, you know, bargain bin relievers and turn them into just gems. And you know, that was Ian Hamilton last year. Nick Birdie is a name that Yankees fans need to start to get to know, because he has been a shining star at camp so far, a non-roster invitee that's had two Tommy John surgeries, yep, the thoracic outlet syndrome in his arm, and he has been throwing really hard. He's got electric stuff. I could see him making the team out of camp. And it all comes down to the health of the back-end relievers, right? I mean, if Clay Holmes has been elite these last couple of years, as much as he sometimes has his meltdowns back there, but he's been pretty darn consistent. Jonathan Loaisiga, Tommy Kahnle might start the year on the injured list. So, yeah, it's going to be a new-look bullpen, definitely different than the one that had the best ERA in the league last year. But I think that they have the pieces right now to be a solid pen back there. And, you know, to name a few more guys, Luke Weaver will be the long man and probably the first line of defense if a starter gets hurt. And he can slot in from there. And then you'll see a lot of the two new guys from the Dodgers acquired in two separate trades, Caleb Ferguson, a lefty, and Victor Gonzalez, also a lefty. You know, they did well in L.A. They're capable in big markets and in big moments, and I think they'll be good fits as well.
Now, we've all heard about Blake Snell and the Yankees. Is there any interest still there, or that those talks have simmered down?
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed, quite frankly. Again, to go back to the financials, just the luxury tax penalties of signing a player that would cost that much money.
It's crazy.
You know, when you're doubling what the contract would be, then it gets to start to be really steep. And these are a lot of zeros that we're talking about, Al. So as much as, you know, the Yankees are a multi-billion dollar franchise, they don't have unlimited money to spend, and the penalties are pretty glaring. And again, I think they're really comfortable with what they have in the rotation. It's a pretty solid staff on paper. But as we know, every year, I mean, guys will get hurt, and the game isn't played on paper. So I think that the Yankees will be opportunistic. Maybe they can upgrade with a trade, and I'm sure that they're monitoring what's going on in terms of the arms that are still out there. But I don't see Snell signing with them in large part because of the financials.
Aaron Judge in center field all season long. It's a taxing position, especially on a guy his size. Are the Yankees concerned he'll hold up the whole season?
Definitely no concern there. And that was something that he proved that he can pull off with flying colors back in 2022, right? I mean, that was his historic season, winning the MVP and hitting 62 homers. And he played more center field that season than any other in his career. And he joked not too long ago that all the injuries that he's had in the outfield have been in right. So maybe he'll have better luck in center. But, you know, that's a position that he really likes to play. He's pretty good at it, too. I think that the metrics will tell you that, but certainly the eye test as well. You know, externally, sure, it's something to keep an eye on, right? Because it'll be more taxing for him, more ground to cover.
Yep.
But don't sleep on Trent Grisham, the other piece of the Juan Soto trade. And I think he's going to play quite a bit this year because he's one of the most talented and elite defenders out there in the game today, especially in center field. So I think you'll see him coming in late in game.
Yep.
Maybe that'll be a way to, if Giancarlo Stanton is struggling, you can move Juan Soto to the DH spot, put Judge back in right, and then have Grisham start in center. But Grisham has been hitting, you know, under 200 his last couple of seasons with San Diego. So that's an important part of this puzzle to keep an eye on early on too. If he can start to hit better, then that puts even more pressure on Stanton to produce in the DH spot.
Well, Met fans hate Trent Grisham because he seems to hit against them. Trust me, he killed us in the playoffs.
That's right.
Marcus Stroman has been a breath of fresh air for the Yankees. He's been awesome for the Yankees. I know he's been a mentor also to Clark Schmidt. How do the Yankees see him this season?
Well, look, everybody that I talk to, because I'm working on a story on him, they rave about the character behind the scenes, the talent in terms of what he's capable of accomplishing on the mound. He's got a reputation around the league with one of the best thinkers in baseball, a guy that's, you know, a savant for pitching. He's constantly making tweaks and adjustments. Just the other day when he threw four scoreless innings in Sarasota, we were down there and he said, you know, yeah, I was messing with my hand placement. And then when we told Boone about that after the game, he was like, oh yeah, that's news to me. But as long as he's, you know, performing well, that's Stroman's thing. He's going to make changes on the fly. He's constantly messing with his grips and his sequences and his plans and game plans. So, again, everybody that I've talked to so far has made it sound like he's going to be a great fit. And I think for them to pivot to Stroman, who, you know, has quite a bit of upside, all-star upside, number two in the rotation upside, when the Yoshinobu Yamamoto sweepstakes fell flat and he ended up going to the Dodgers, it was a bargain to get Stroman at that price because of his track record. And if he can stay healthy, because there were some injuries for him last year in Chicago, that could end up being, you know, a money move of the offseason and really silence some of the concerns in the rotation.
Now, Nestor Cortes is somebody that I know a lot of Yankee fans are concerned about. Are the Yankees concerned about him holding up for an entire season? Because it seems like he's been battling injuries, nagging injuries, and I think he'd be better suited in a long-term role out the bullpen as opposed to starting pitching for a whole season.
That's fair. You know, when someone has shoulder injuries the way that he did, and it was something that lingered for much of last season, it's certainly going to be a concern. You know, the Yankees have made it sound like they're confident that he's going to be able to settle back into the rotation, and the morale around him has been good so far this spring. Of course, he struggled in his outing today in Fort Myers, but yeah, I think that when you look at his season, it's a high ceiling and a low floor, right? Because of the way that last year went, if he's not able to stay healthy, and when he was out there, he didn't have the same results that he did when he was an all-star in 2022. But there is that all-star potential in there with him, the deceptive, funky lefty that's going to mess with timing and use his interesting arsenal that's going to get some outs. So the Yankees are certainly hoping that they can get some consistency out of him in the middle of the rotation, but it all comes down to health, right? And if the shoulder's going to hold up, then that's the best case scenario. I think they're hoping that that's going to be the case, and we'll see what he'll be able to accomplish.
Any, because his Yankee roster seems to be complete. Anything we should be keeping an eye on position battle-wise, roster spot-wise for battles?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Oh, it's like we talked about earlier, who's going to be the backup on the infield. But the other item to definitely keep an eye on is at catcher. And Jose Trevino is going to be back in the lineup tomorrow, or I guess today at this point, Sunday, making his first game appearance since he had the season-ending wrist surgery last summer, and then he came into camp with a calf strain. So he'll likely be in that starter role. Austin Wells, though, has been really impressive this spring, carrying over to his, you know, first taste of big league action at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. And then there's Ben Rortvedt, who's an elite defender behind the plate. Wells has the highest ceiling offensively of that bunch, and Rortvedt doesn't have any minor league options. So they can't simply send him down to Scranton in AAA and wait for somebody to get hurt. So as the Yankees get closer to opening day, they're going to have to make a decision. I think it's unlikely that they would have three catchers on the opening day roster. They technically could send Wells down, but I think that he has proved that he is capable of performing at that level. And certainly you talk to any pitcher, as much as defense maybe was the classic weakness in his scouting reports as a prospect, he's starting to show that it's not as much of a weakness as maybe we thought. And if he's going to continue to improve back there, then he'll be even more of a fit in the platoon with Trevino. So maybe the Yankees end up using Rortvedt as a trade piece if you get closer to opening day and another team needs a catcher. I'm not sure, not saying that that's going to happen. It's always possible they could carry three, but you know, I don't know if Rortvedt will be able to pass through waivers if they designated him for assignment, because he is a really good defender back there, able to limit the run game with his arm and a solid pitch framer, just someone that hasn't been able to hit consistently at the big league level.
You already mentioned Nick Birdie. He's been a breath of fresh air, surprised, 31 years old, two Tommy John surgeries. He's throwing between 98 and 101. Where do you see him in this bullpen? Where does he slot at?
Well, the Yankees came into camp with, I believe it was basically one open spot. And now that in the bullpen, I'm saying, and now that Canely's probably going to not be ready for opening day, there's a good chance that there are two openings in the bullpen. And, you know, I could go down the list. There's quite a few capable names. Ron Marinaccio and Nick Ramirez come to mind off the top of my head as guys that, that you know, you've seen in the Bronx over the last few years. But Birdie has shown that he has, you know, Boone said the other day, he's got some of the best stuff that you'll ever see in terms of velocity and movement on his off-speed pitches. But again, like I mentioned earlier, he hasn't been able to stay healthy in the past. And even if he's been around in the league for several years, you know, he's only pitched in a handful of games over the last several years now when he was with the Cubs. So is he going to be able to handle the workload of being in a big league bullpen on a day-to-day basis? That's the big question with him. It wouldn't surprise me, though, to see a non-roster invitee have a really good year out of the Yankees bullpen, because that's been their track record these last couple of seasons, going back to Lucas Litke when he was impressive at camp and earned a spot in the pen, and then, of course, Ian Hamilton, who's now a really important piece in the back end of their pen.
Clayton Beter, he's also been phenomenal this spring training. Thoughts on him?
Sure. Clayton Beter, you could throw Will Warren in there and Chase Hampton as well. Those are three highly touted right-handed pitching prospects that were drafted. Beter wasn't drafted by the Yankees. He was acquired in the Joey Gallo trade. So that's been working out for the Yankees so far. But, you know, he's got to carve out his role, right? Because the Yankees are loaded in terms of young arms that are looking to prove themselves in a depth role early on and throughout this season. Obviously, it's in many ways contingent upon the health of the five-man staff that we were talking about earlier. And if the you-know-what hits the fan, then you're going to start to see a lot of new faces get called up and be, you know, thrust into different roles. But I could definitely see Beter pitching early this season. I was talking to him today in the clubhouse, and he said that things have been going well. But, you know, Will Warren, again, has been very impressive. He's got great stuff, and Hampton's a little further behind those other two, but he's, you know, viewed by many as the top pitching prospect in the entire organization. Probably will start in Double A, but he could rock it up through Triple A and get to the Bronx pretty quickly too.
The Yanks have a repeat of last season. Boone and Cashman gone.
Well, yeah. If this year goes the way that it did last year, I think it would be hard to justify not making those kinds of changes, right? Because they stuck with the group that they have and made a lot of changes behind the scenes after going 82-80, which was, you know, far and away a disappointment and a disaster. I mean, those are the phrases and words to describe the season that the Yankees are using, not just what reporters like myself are saying. So, you know, the expectation is to win and to win a championship. And with the activity that they had this winter and bringing guys like Juan Soto in and supplementing a pretty solid group, you know, so long as the injury bug isn't overwhelming again, and you know, I'm sure that they'll supplement the roster at some point leading up to the trade deadline, perhaps, and lean on some of that talent that we were just talking about in the farm system and the upper levels in AAA. I think they're in a good spot to surprise some folks this year. Their biggest challenge will be leapfrogging the Orioles, because I think they're the best team in the division. But if this is a team that misses the playoffs again, man, I think that there will definitely be more high profile changes. And, you know, by bringing in bench coach Brad Ausmus, there's an experienced manager already in the dugout. And maybe that's a little bit of a message from the organization to Boone, who's entering a contract year, that, you know, he's got to be able to rile up the troops and get it done, as much as it's, you know, it's not Boone that puts the roster together, and it's not him that controls, you know, who's able to stay healthy and who isn't.
All right, two more from me. Yankees final win total. If you had to put a number on it, what is that number?
Oh, man, putting me on the spot.
Yes, sir. That's what I do.
I'll say 91. Pulling that out of nowhere. But I do think that they'll come in second in the AL East. That's my prediction as of now. I do think this is a team that's improved significantly from what they did last year, and their ceiling is to win in the high 90s and perhaps even more than that. I mean, they have the best duo in baseball in Soto and Judge, and the balance in their lineup has improved with the additions of Verdugo and Grisham. Like I mentioned, there's some younger pieces, some athleticism. And again, the pitching staff, if everybody stays healthy, it could be a top five rotation, but the floor is pretty low. So other than Gerrit Cole, you know, you're hoping that Clark Schmidt's able to take another step forward, and then there's three other former All-Stars that have injury concerns. So a lot has to go right for this team to be a contender to win the division. I do think that they're a playoff team certainly right now, but you know, this is all early in the process and all on paper right now. So let's talk again in a couple months.
We definitely will. I have the Yankees, if the rotation lives up to their expectations, what they're expected to do, I definitely see them fighting for the division. If Rodon is off, they're fighting for a wild card spot, if that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the sweet spot for them could be maybe that top wild card spot. And I know this isn't what Yankees fans want to hear, and this isn't the standard for a team that has such a high payroll and such a star-studded roster, but other teams like the Phillies and Diamondbacks in recent years have proven that all you need is a ticket to the dance.
Just
and
get in.
Get into the playoffs, then anything can happen, and you really just have to be healthy and playing well and having that winning culture and the vibe behind the scenes at that time of the year to go on a run. Because even if you win the division, it doesn't mean as much nowadays with the expanded playoffs. So, you know, they're going to shoot to win the division, of course. And it's certainly in there if everything goes well. But Baltimore is just as good as last year. And, you know, the Corbin Burnes trade was something that, you know, we were with Aaron Boone at an autograph signing event. I think it was the day after, a couple of days later, and we said, "What do you think of that trade?" And he was like, "Yeah, that could be a problem." So the Orioles are really darn good, and I could see them going even deeper in the playoffs, because that was a failure for them. They didn't even win when they got to the playoffs. But that young core is now another year more experienced, and they've got some other top-rated prospects coming up too. So they're going to be a challenge.
And they have the prospects, if they need to make moves to add to the roster, to make the moves, as opposed to the Yankees, who don't really seem to want to let go of any of their prospects.
Well, they've got a few at the top level, Spencer Jones specifically, that they would prefer not to move because of just how talented he is. And and you see him, you know, hitting a 470-foot home run in spring training here. And you know, his weakness as a prospect is swing and miss and a high whiff rate and maybe the swing decisions too. Because when he makes contact at a, you know, a good launch angle, getting it over the infielder's head, he's going to do some damage. But what's really telling is this spring, and, you know, he was reassigned to minor league camp already, but he's still playing in games every couple of days. And to this point, he hasn't swung and missed at a single pitch yet. And I know that it's only Grapefruit League games, but that's a sign of a player that's maturing and taking steps forward. And he's on a similar path as Jason Dominguez was at this time last year. And, you know, probably going to go back to Double A, have a stretch there. And if he can perform well in AAA, you could see him as a September call-up later this year. But the Yankees all of a sudden have a logjam in the outfield now. So they've got to figure out, you know, if Juan Soto doesn't come back, then there's your reason why you don't want to trade Spencer Jones, because he could be a starting center fielder next year or starting left fielder if everything goes well with Dominguez's Tommy John rehab, and you've got Judge out there too. So, you know, the Yankees have shown that they are willing to trade prospects over these last few years with the trade deadline moves that they've made and some other trades that they made this offseason, obviously the Soto one. But you got to be mindful in certain cases if you're really high on certain prospects, which they are with Jones.
And you led me to my last question, and this is the $600 million question around here. Will Juan Soto be a Yankee next season?
It's so tough to tell because, you know, he's deferring to his agent, Scott Boras, and he wants to see what the experience is going to be like with the Yankees and you know, being a Dominican superstar in the Bronx. I think he's going to be a great fit. But it may just come down to which team offers him the most money. And the Yankees already have a pretty high payroll, so they'd have to make some cuts in other places to be able to fit that kind of contract into their payroll for years and years to come. You know, do I think that the Yankees should go after Soto? Of course. He's one of the best players in the league. He's a generational talent. He's one of the best all time in terms of what he's accomplished already at age 25, 26. And you know, he debuted at 18 or 19, whatever it was. So do I think he'll be back? I'm leaning more towards no, because I'm not sure how they're going to be able to offer him as much as some other teams like the Mets could. But I think it's way too early to tell definitively and lean in any direction, because there could be another team that just, you know, backs up the truck and offers him quite an exorbitant salary, and that might be the difference. But the Yankees would certainly love to have him back, and they have the other young studs in their system that could potentially take his spot if he does leave.
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier in the show, I have a little birdie that knows somebody. He said that if Juan Soto, if it lives up to the hype, meaning the Heights comes out, the Dominican population comes out, and it's a WBC-type atmosphere, and the money's close, he's going to stay in the Yankees. If the other team, and I already said it, Juan Soto's going to be the Met or Yankee next year. This is what I was told. He's going to be in New York next year. If it's the Mets, because they blew them out the water. If the money's close, it'll be the Yankees.
Right. I mean, he's a great fit when you look at the Yankees long term, right? Because, you know, he and Aaron Judge, that's
box office.
Special. Yeah, and you're gonna fill up the seats. A lot of fans are gonna be buying those chicken buckets, and you're gonna see them in the postseason with that kind of, you know, 1-2 punch in the lineup. But, you know, he's got a big decision to make, because this is his one trip into free agency where he's gonna sign a mega deal for, you know, who knows how many years. Possibly the rest of his career from this one trade. Obviously, opt-outs and stuff can change that. But that's a big decision for him. And, you know, I could see him going to either of the two spots in New York for sure.
Max, I appreciate the time. I look forward to do it again during the baseball season. Enjoy the rest of spring training.
Sounds good, man. Have a good rest of the night. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. That was Max T. Goodman on Twitter. Max Goodman, he covers the Yankees for new NJ Advance Media.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.